We all know Kit Kat bars taste delicious, but what about how they sound? It's not just a catchy jingle. It's the satisfying crack of breaking off a piece of Kit Kat, followed by a crisp crunch. Oh, we forgot one other sound that accompanies Kit Kat bars, too. It's... Or maybe it's more like... Altogether, Kit Kat bars are music to our ears and yummy flavors to our mouths. Have a break. Have a Kit Kat.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Video games, you can click his name below in the description. And this week, I wanted to talk about Avowed, and this is meant to be a positive view of the game. I've seen marked improvements. Some of the things I've been frustrated by are seemingly being answered by the developers, and I'm like, okay, well, maybe give them more time, because I continue to think the game looks a little rough and not quite ready yet, but I do think they've got great ideas, and they do seem to be listening to feedback. So I'm going to end the previous stream that was about Dragon Age the Veilguard, why I want to see more gameplay. I am feeling like my mind has been changed about that. We're going to end that stream and redirect everybody over. Kirk, thanks for being here this week again.
Yeah, man. Back by unpopular demand.
or back by popular demand. People, if you missed it last week, they really liked the Fable stream that we did. Yeah, that was probably more contentious than today will be. Although I don't know if we're seeing this game in exactly the same light. We were kind of going back and forth in DM yesterday about, specifically if you guys haven't seen it, the deep dive. So I just want to start. Let's just start with the main criticism that I have, and I want to kind of hear your thoughts on this one. And it's going to be showcased in this gameplay. One of the things that's frustrated me the most, and guys, before we dive too much into this, make sure you are smashing that like button. Let's try to get those first 100 likes. Thanks for coming over from the previous stream. My main criticism is, as you see him swing at these guys, it's almost as if you're not hitting them. You're swinging through them. And I think even worse, I actually think the fire and the spells look awesome. Even worse, when he does his sword thrust, he sort of brings the sword up and then kind of pushes forward. I can't even tell if that's landing on the enemy. He does it multiple times in this section. And so my main frustration is the lack of player feedback. And I know they do talk about earlier in the deep dive, if your weapons are underleveled, the enemies won't respond. They use these little mushroom guys to show you. And here, I understand tougher enemies aren't going to like ragdoll from every hit. But even that sword thing that he did, it didn't look like it hit. It looked like he didn't even move forward. And they did confirm you can play the game in third person, which I think some of this might actually feel better in third person. So the gameplay just played. I kind of was able to give my commentary on it. Where do you stand on this in particular? Because I'm like, dude, delay the game. Polish this up. It needs to be better if I'm going to be in that much combat.
So I'm not inclined to disagree with the premise here that the game should be delayed. In fact, I totally concur in that. But I think when we're talking about combat, even in chat, like Donnie's being very vocal about it not looking too good, to put it lightly. But, you know, some other people are, you know, giving some explanations and saying like, oh, the feedback is, for instance, you know, they're using this kind of color or like effect. Seems like they're turning red and there's kind of like this bloom effect when the sword makes contact with their body. They could be doing that because they know that there's not as much of a visible stagger, or it could be a game design choice. Like, I'm not really sure. But what I think this really comes down to combat-wise is it's entirely preferential. Like, in the same way that I was critical of Stellar Blade, because I was looking for a Rise of the Ronin, Dark Souls, Elden Ring, or... Liza P type experience from that game and the combat, and what I experienced in the demo made me very, very concerned about how they weren't going to be able to deliver on that. Turns out they're kind of going for a completely different game type, which I ended up, you know, enjoying for what it was. But at that point in time, it felt like this was going to be a Souls-like. It didn't fall in line with my preferences of what the combat for that type of game would be when I was experiencing that demo. But I don't think that you could say that the combat was bad. I think I was just being critical of it because it didn't work for the genre type that I perceived the game to be. And I wonder if we're looking at something similar here, where you maybe have a preconceived idea of what combat should be like in RPGs, or even specifically Western RPGs, with an emphasis on, you know, this type of first person combat. Maybe that's why you're trying to get into third person, because it doesn't seem like they're doing it well to suit your taste for that type of combat. But I do think what we're looking at with this game is it's going to come down to preference. Now, you could argue that it's not going to meet the preferences of the wider audience, and so a lot of people are going to find it, you know, unsatisfactory or distasteful. That could be true. I'm not really sure, but I don't know that there's anything demonstrably or definitively bad about the combat design here. I just can definitely see that it's maybe not resonating with a large amount of people, which could be a reason for them to tweak it, you know?
I mean, I've got people in chat here, you know, weighing in, and WGC says, it's Obsidian, it's about story and characters, not combat. Mm. And I think my pushback would be, they've shown mostly combat, you know, and I love the characters. I actually think the NPCs look good. I think the dialogue sections look like something that would be enjoyable, and I'm typically not a dialogue guy. And I said from the very early stages, I said, you know, the amphibian looking fish guy, you know, he actually looked quite good as far as character design. But I don't know why you would constantly show combat if that's not the focal point of the game. Virtually every trailer we've seen has been, I would say, mostly combat. Somebody walking around with their hands up, casting spells, swinging a sword, swinging an axe, you know, dashing forward, things like that, you know, bashing with the shield. We've seen an ample amount of combat. So I don't know if I accept that this game doesn't need to have good combat, or that it...
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus chews.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go!
With ERLEADA, apalutamide, being there is possible. ERLEADA is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. ERLEADA may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. ERLEADA can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if ERLEADA is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit ERLEADA.com. CP43-9267-V1.
It's okay if it's bad. I remember people dismissing some of my criticisms of Cyberpunk, and they would say, it doesn't matter that the gunplay's not that good because it's an RPG. And I'm like, okay, that's not a get-out-of-jail-free card. You can't be like, well, our game does need to have good-feeling combat because it's an RPG. And we just showcased this sequence with the mushrooms. You'll notice, if you remember, maybe you didn't, weren't watching, but if you were watching, he was sort of hitting the mushrooms and the sword was stopping. It was literally stopping and the mushroom was flashing. And that's because the weapons were underleveled. Mm-hmm. And they show later he'll fight some of these mushroom guys on a stairwell. He's like moving up a stairwell. And he'll swing through them and they stagger. And so my feedback is, I feel like they've shown a ton of combat where, for whatever reason, the player's underleveled, like not having any impact on the enemies whatsoever. Maybe that's because they don't want the enemies to die quickly. They want the animation sets to play through or something. But this reminds me of the stream I just came through. You've got to treat your gameplay, I think, in a better way. Showcase it and make it look, make the player look awesome, not weak, right?
Well, 2 points here. So, you're the one who actually brought this to my attention, so this isn't like a like an owning type of moment or anything, but the woman who is maybe the creative lead, or I'm not sure what her position is, but the woman that is showing the game off on the podcast sort of explains that this is sort of a game design choice, with the fact that they want the player to receive visual and sound design and other feel, I guess, in the controller is what she's talking about, as far as it looks, sounds, and feels different. I assume feel is the controller, when your gear is underleveled for particular enemies in a particular region or a particular enemy type, like whatever their strength is. And so they want you to get that impression. They want to communicate to the player with the game design that you probably need to level up your gear. You know, you need to go back to camp, which it looks like they're showing now, and do some gear progression in some way. I don't know if that's a great choice for them to do that. Like, we could argue that maybe it's not. But that is the intentionality behind what we're talking about. Like, the disparity in one segment with the same type of enemy and another, they literally go into explaining that. I think that's a choice for sure. That's definitely a choice. But there is some sort of rationale behind what they're doing there. But to get into, you know, you mentioned what they've shown and a lot of it being combat, I kind of like to get into what they've shown as a topic at large, because I don't know if a lot of people remember, I have kind of come around, because I actually really liked the gameplay that they saw. A lot of people are dunking on it, that they showed, rather. A lot of people are dunking on the combat from this gameplay segment, but I have seen enough of the game now to where I feel like it's something that I could be interested in, something that I would enjoy playing, especially with me, you know, being able to access it with my Game Pass subscription. And that is because of what I've seen in this sort of longer segment. It's like about a 27, 28 minute video on the Xbox channel. But as far as like what they've shown, the way that they've shown this game off has been incredibly odd, I think we would both say, because like I was so negative the last time that we talked about this game, and I'm not trying to like pull a switcheroo or not own that in any way, because what I said was, what they've shown of this game, and this was following the developer direct, where they had really only shown some combat segments, as you kind of alluded to earlier, from a particular region that looked like very desert-like. There wasn't a lot of assets. It didn't even really look like the same game, honestly. The combat didn't look very great, and I just was totally uninterested in the game at that point based on what they had shown. And so for them to come out at the Xbox showcase, I know they want to hit a certain cadence. They want to be like, here's another game and here's another game. But we talked about the great showings that they had for Black Ops 6, even before the direct afterwards, and South of Midnight, where they really got into the raw gameplay and showed off what the game was going to be. And the Avowed showing at the Xbox showcase really didn't do anything to alleviate my concerns with what I had seen previously. It was really only once I watched this 28 minutes of like long drawn out corporate podcast speak. I mean, no disrespect to Tina Amini. She's great at what she does, but like, it's very clear that she's there for a particular purpose, to kind of shepherd this dev you know, through certain hoops to cover certain things. And it feels kind of like, oh my God, like when you're watching it. But in spite of that, you know, the fact that I actually took the time to watch it, I'm like, hey, this game like actually doesn't look half bad. Like I might would enjoy this. So it's like this weird conundrum of like, they are having such difficulty showing this game. And to concur with what you said earlier, what they've shown, especially on the most public stages, has not inspired a lot of confidence, or more importantly, a lot of like intrigue and interest. Like, I don't think that there's any hype around this game because they haven't marketed it well. And they still have not marketed it well. And that's what I said when we talked about it before, is that I think it might come down to marketing, why I'm so low on this game. But thank God that this podcast exists, because you can go and watch this and realize, oh, maybe the game isn't that bad. But why is this buried in this one thing that is not being broadcast to the greater public at large that might would be interested in this game? I don't know.
Even as we're watching it, though, like, I'm just seeing a lot of indicators that always cause me concern. I'm seeing a very shallow FOV. I'm seeing very slow turning. That could be why some of the combat. Here's where you're going to see. Now you can see their sword is at level, and you're seeing there's a stagger, there's a ragdoll effect. So I actually do think they should be showing more of that. Like, when he hits these enemies and they react in the direction they've been hit, and then he goes in for the thrust and they go flying back, that looks really satisfying. I'm like, oh, hey, look, I'm actually going to have an impact on the enemies. But then I'm like, oh, you still have this shallow FOV. I feel like the game is zoomed in. There's another, I think, good shot of impact from the sword. I think the fire spells look awesome. The effect it puts on the enemies also just looks really
what
really
they're cool. doing with colors and like particle effects and things with the aesthetic. Very, very cool. Like, I think that the color palette and the aesthetic of this game is even more enticing than Dragon Age. That's not to say that Dragon Age isn't higher fidelity than this game. It definitely is. But I think that the artful kind of, I mean, it's even in the logo for the game, right? Like, the artful kind of conception and aesthetic of this world, like, it's really coming to fruition. It's as we get closer to the release of this game, I will give them credit for that. We've come a long way from that stupid bandit camp in the middle of the desert with no assets and no color. We're finally walking around in this world that they've kind of shown glimpses of in the trailers, with the camera panning and showing the oasis and the mountains and the vistas and everything. And it's like, I want to see you walking around that. Like, why can't I see that? And I don't know why the only place that you can see it is in this podcast, but that's the only place you can see it. I don't know why.
Now, people were asking in chat, would you pay full price for this? You're like, no. Well, I'll play it on Game Pass. Okay, but you wouldn't pay full price for
Absolutely
it.
Not. I would not pay. I would not. Unless it comes out and it gets a lot of nines, I guess enough nines. It's not, I don't think it would need to get a lot. Unless it comes out and it's like, oh, this is kind of a gem, like, don't sleep on this game, I don't think I would pay $30 for this. I would have to go sub 30. It's just not that type of game. Like, it just doesn't look like it's going to be a quality banger, but it looks like it's going to be a fun time. Like, I've moved a lot from saying that this is basically dog water, it's going to be another Redfall. Like, they finally showed some of the game that looks good. And I know a lot of people are complaining about combat, but there's a lot going on in this world. It reminds me a lot of what I really like about Elder Scrolls and, you know, Bethesda in general. I obviously, Obsidian and Bethesda, like, people don't like when you put them in the same conversation, but it's almost unavoidable. I think that they have some similar styles that don't really ape each other, but they reflect on one another in a positive way, I think, and they sort of build each other up. You know, we've seen that with the Fallout series. So I would love for them to kind of do their take on what an Elder Scrolls is. It doesn't necessarily have to be in competition with Skyrim, I guess. Really looking at this, I was like, dang, like, maybe I want to go back and play some Oblivion. Like, that's kind of the vibe that I got from this. So I'm all for that. Like, if that's what this is going to be, if this is going to be like an Elder Scrolls Oblivion in 2024 that I get to play on Game Pass, that's great. I just don't know that it's going to blow anybody away.
Well, and they're also saying it's going to be smaller in scope. It's going to be closer to something like Outer Worlds, and people are kind of upset about that. I am actually fully in favor of that. I'm far more likely to complete a game if it's in that condensed, you know, almost, I don't want to say bite size, that seems too small, but just more completable. I don't need to commit my life to every game that comes out. I said this during Rise of the Ronin. I said, once I get beyond 30 hours, like, it's time to wrap things up. And that game ended up being significantly longer than that for me. And I was still near the end. I was beelining. I was like, dude, I am ready to be done here. And for this game, you know, we're asking the question, should they delay it? And I'm coming from the perspective of it looks better every time they show it.
It does.
Every time they show it, I got over the art direction shift from that first trailer that looked really cool, almost like a Skyrim. But then
just to interject, like, didn't that do this game the biggest disservice out of anything? Like, in retrospect, like, don't you think that, like, that trailer really set the tone as far as like people getting excited for I think the hunger or the appetite for Elder Scrolls and for Elder Scrolls adjacent games is so pervasive. I mean, you even mentioned Elder Scrolls 6 and everybody, you know, gets super excited about it. They showed that announcement trailer way too early. You want to talk about showing stuff too early? I'm sure you have some complaints about that, but like, I think this got everybody hooked in because they were like, oh, this looks like a dark kind of fantasy RPG, and it's like not that at all. And I feel like they're just working against that at this point, and it's really set them back a ton. So they're trying to like reintroduce everybody to like what this game is and why they should be excited about it. And I wonder if that would even be a problem for them if that initial trailer hadn't set those really different expectations from what the actual game is going to be.
Well, I want to defend Bethesda because the Elder Scrolls 6 trailer was the media's fault. Every time they sat down to do an interview about one of their games, they're like, are you making Elder Scrolls 6? Are you making Elder Scrolls 6? And they literally, like, they basically said, we made that trailer so that everybody would stop asking. So that was more like the media and the public's fault. I think with this game, I've continued to say Xbox shows games off way too early. They force these devs to push out a cinematic trailer to get everybody excited. Like Redfall, they announced that. Nothing like what the cinematic trailer ended up being. The cinematics for those trailers aren't even in the game, which really makes you wonder, why are you spending so much money on marketing materials and cinematics? They did the same thing with Hellblade. They showed it way too early. Then they show Avowed, showed it way too early. And then you want to argue that, like, oh, the trailer's not to make anybody feel like what the game's going to play like. I'm like, oh, get out of here. They showed from the player's perspective. I will never give ground to that argument. That trailer set a tone. And again, I fault Xbox. It's like the developers are put into a really precarious position when you force them to put out marketing materials way too early. Because even this trailer that I'm showing right here, that it's now a year old, the game looks significantly better than this now. This looks arguably pretty bad at certain instances where things look low texture, animations look wonky. And it's like, okay, but again, were they made to put this together? Was it an older build? Or were they using pieces of gameplay that just were not polished and ready to go? Because like, well, we have to have something to show. Because from my perspective, that's why I'm saying, like, can you guys just delay this? I feel like you're listening to feedback. Even that right there, that shot of that guy getting hit and the ragdoll effects, it's like it's so inconsistent. There's been times in the newer footage where the enemies don't react like that. They don't react to being hit. And it's like, okay, well, did you guys change direction? Did you change decisions? Like, why does the combat look so inconsistent? And the latest trailer that they dropped during their showcase, it's like the only gameplay we see is super fast, super quick cuts. And that always makes me say, all right, come on, you know. And then when they do the deep dive, I feel the same way. It's like, well, there's times where it looks good and there's times where it looks bad. And I'm still wanting to see third person. Like, why wait that long to tell us you can play in third person, and why not showcase it? Again,
They probably didn't know if they could make it work. See, that's the thing. You know, I hope everybody didn't show up looking for another hot debate like last week, because I think we're actually going to reach a consensus here. I'm inclined to agree with what you're saying. Like, every single time that they show this game, well, other than the developer direct, I almost felt like that was a step backward, and we sort of agreed on that at the time as well, that the initial trailer had looked more interesting and compelling than that gameplay showcase. Just did not do the game any favors. But since then, like, every time that they've showed anything from this game, it has looked significantly better. So that begs the question of, like, did they show what they showed previously because that's all they were able to show, or the game was only that far along? And if, like, you're up against it so much that each time you show the game, it pretty much dwarfs what you had last time, because last time you only had something to show that was only so good. If you're kind of racing to get your game to a certain level of quality, at that point, like, shouldn't you just take some more time? I mean, I think what we see now is so different to what we saw, what was it, 6 months? No, not that long. 4 months ago. Like, imagine if you just tacked on 4 extra months to whenever this game is supposed to release. The rumors are November 15th or something like that, right? So imagine if you just tacked on 3 to 4 months to that, the progress that they could make when we've seen the progress that they can make in at least what they have available to show in the 4 months prior to this. So I do think that it's evident from how they've shown the game and it doesn't look great, and then they show the game again and it does look great, that what they must have had before was just all that they had. Take the time that you need so that we get the best version of this game when it comes out, because as we've seen time and time again, you only get one initial release. When the game comes out, that's when everybody plays it. That's when the reviewers give their assessment of it. You're not going to have people coming back a year later, at least not at large, and saying, oh, this game's really good now. Like, how many times have we heard that? It just sounds like, you know, a yelling in the wind or whatever. You know, nobody cares at that point because the game has already had its moment. So Xbox has kind of messed this up several times now. I think that they need to really place emphasis on this game being as good as it can be when it comes out. And nothing about how they've showed off or marketed this game so far inspires confidence or shows that they have something that's ready to go when they need to show it. Like, the fact that even the deep dive that we're talking about was not a part of SGF, was not a part of the showcase that they offered for everybody to watch. What is up with that? Like, why didn't they show some of this at the showcase? You know, something I think is going on here as far as what their development timeline is and what they have ready to show off. And I really just hope that the game is ready to come out whenever they put it out and they don't rush this out to meet some sort of window. The holiday is already filled up for Xbox with Indiana Jones, Stalker 2, and Call of Duty. This would be a great February, March, April release. So I hope that they strongly consider that, and that's why they didn't commit to a release date in the showcase, because that also doesn't inspire confidence that they didn't commit to a release date. So I'd be fine with it being delayed.
Right, and my perspective on it is, you know, I said similar things about, you know, Hellblade. I was worried they showed it way too early in 2019, and then the dev cycle, that they admitted they weren't even in full production in like the middle of 2021. I'm like, well, then why on earth did you have them make a trailer, you know, 5 years before the game even landed, and then it ended up being a game that was seemingly smaller in scope than everybody was thinking that we were headed toward. It didn't feel like this big evolution from the first Hellblade, which is what the first trailer, you know, seemed to signal. And I look at Avowed and I listen to the developers and I'm like, I feel like they're making a very good game here. And I feel like what I'm watching is I'm watching somebody do a dev diary and do a deep dive for a game that shouldn't be coming out for like a year. It doesn't feel like I'm not seeing polished gameplay. I'm seeing gameplay that needs extra work, extra spit shine, because they show all these internals. They start talking about all of the RPG elements. I'm like, y'all know what you're doing in that department. I don't doubt that at all. But, you know, the fact that the gameplay itself has gone from looking really, really kind of weird to better to now, I think it's like, okay, I can detect the rough edges. It's like, I want them to have time to polish those rough edges, because if not, we're going to end up with another game that comes out and that will be the focal point. All of the hard work they put into the other areas will get completely diminished if the gameplay doesn't deliver. Like, you can't move around in a world like this. And I'm also curious. I feel like there's even been commentary like, are we looking at another 30 FPS game? Like, is that going to be another blow to this game's launch that they're not able to get 60 FPS out of the Series X? Which I don't see anything in these trailers that would justify that.
What did you think, like, watching this gameplay? First of all, I don't know if it's running on a PC or if it's running on an Xbox. If it's running on an Xbox, we'd have to assume it's on the X, not the S, right? But did you think that this looks 30 FPS? Because I didn't. I actually oddly kind of thought it was somewhere around the like 50 mark. Like, it just didn't look like it was 60. I can't tell if that's more of the animations. Like, if you look at the combat even, and just the movement of the protagonist, even when he's casting spells, he has kind of like this jittery motion to him where he'll kind of hold up his arm and like he's like, ah, like in your face, and it, like his arm kind of jerks around, and when he's fighting, he's like, it's like he's almost like readying for like the next thing he's gonna do, and he kind of has like this like weird kind of, I don't even know what that motion is, but it has like a stutter effect to it. It's almost like he's trying to juke the enemy out or something like that, and I can't tell if that's like just the animations or if it's like also being exacerbated by something with the frame rate, something with the camera, something with the frame pacing. I have no idea. I am not Digital Foundry, nor do I have a very trained eye, so I would rely more on what your assessment is of this, but something about it definitely didn't look like smooth as butter 60 FPS to me. I just can't really put my finger on what that is, but I also don't know that it really detracted from the overall game experience that they're trying to put on offer here. Like, I think the people that are going to enjoy this are just going to be people that really enjoy RPG mechanics, and you either go for that sort of thing or you don't, and the game's not going to live or die by the combat or the frame rate for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to respond to a couple of things here, because I want to respond to some of what you were saying, Kirk. But thank you guys so much for tuning in to... This is the second show of the day, so if you've been lurking and listening, make sure and smash that like button. We appreciate your support, and those likes do help out the video. And Fuzzy said this in the Members Only Discord. He said, it's coming out day one on Game Pass. Why not pull a Pal World and release it on Game Pass Early Access to get player feedback? Listen, I'm a huge, huge champion of early access because of what I feel it can do to a game. I don't think Xbox is going to do that with their first party lineup. I am fully in support of games saying, hey, we're going to launch an early access so we can, you know, get better player feedback. Hades did it. Hades 2 is currently doing it. Baldur's Gate 3 did it. I think the larger your game, the larger the scope, the better it is to get that feedback. You know, Diablo 4, I think, should have launched 2 years earlier in early access, and they could have completely reworked so many of the things they're trying to fix now, right? Like, that is something I continue to champion as long as the consumer is informed on what they're purchasing. Now, I want to respond to some of what Kirk was saying. I think first-person combat like this always looks a little janky, and it looks kind of like a VR game, right? So I think they're fighting...
I would say always, but it can, yes.
When they're doing the presentations in the trailers, I've never felt like it looks good. It always looks funky.
Oh, you mean with Avowed? Like, you're not just saying first-person combat at large looks like VR. You're saying Avowed has consistently looked like a VR game. That's what you're saying?
I think first-person melee combat always looks a little funky in the trailers. Like, it doesn't feel...
Or Avowed. Okay,
no,
gotcha.
for games in general.
Oh, okay.
So, like, I remember when they showed off Sea of Thieves, I thought the same thing. I thought it looked janky. I thought it looked funky. Now, I'm saying in the trailers. The reason I'm saying in the trailers is once it's in your hands, it can feel okay. Like, Sea of Thieves, I think, feels totally fine. But in the trailers, it always looked funky to me. It never looked smooth. It never looked fluid. It, like, the gun looked too big or the movement looked too slow. That's just my own personal perspective. Not everybody needs to agree. I'm just saying when I watch a trailer... And it's this first person, I'm holding a sword up like this, right? I'm picturing, like, how derpy is that? No one holds a sword like this, like, out in front of their face, right? I always think it looks a little goofy, like, oh, I've got my hand up and my sword ready to go. Okay, second thing I think that's going on, I think they have a very shallow FOV, so you can't see anything. It's like your face is up against the glass. Like, if you've ever gone to an aquarium, and the closer you get to the glass, it's like... You can't.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, go, go! Go. Go.
With Erleada, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erleada is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erleada may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erleada can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erleada is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erleada.com. CP43-9267-V1.
Hey, Cam, mind sending me over our new Wi-Fi password?
Oh, sorry, Mitch, you can't be trusted.
What?
It's your phone. It's different than mine.
Cam! And I thought I was a judgy one.
No, it's just messages between different devices aren't encrypted.
Okay. Since when do you know about encryption?
I know what encryption is, and it's because I'm the last line of defense against any would-be Wi-Fi thieves.
Cam, come on.
Okay, fine. I'll send it somewhere more private.
Thank you.
Safely send messages between different devices on WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone.
See anything. You have to kind of like look around because you're so close. And I think when an FOV is wider, it offers a better level of immersion. Like you can kind of see everything around you. So I think what that leads to is then they move slowly. Because if they move quickly on a shallow FOV, it tends to get almost like blurry. It's like, I can't see what's happening. So they're doing like these slow pans, these slow scans. It's very, very, in my estimation, it's a lot of cliche marketing tactics that you use for games. Is you move slowly so that everything looks smooth and everything looks crisp and colorful. And I'm okay with that. But I think that's why the combat's just not translating. Because even the dashing that they do, it ends up, as you're saying, it almost looks kind of clumsy, kind of funky. It's like, what in the world's going on? That's why I'm like, just let me see the character. Like, zoom out, let me see the character, let me see them dodge to the side, dodge to the left, dash forward, whatever the case may be. We've seen some phenomenal gameplay from games like Phantom Blade Zero, even Rise of the Ronin. I remember saying, like, okay, it looks a little funky, but then the animations in combat always looked really good because I felt like I could see what was going on. So, to me, Grounded was in early access. That's fair pushback on what I said. I just don't know if Xbox is going to want to do that with their lineup, like Avowed, Indiana Jones, and others. You are correct. They did do Grounded as early access, but was Grounded positioned in the same way that titles like Avowed have been positioned?
More like a multiplayer Minecraft type game, right? Like not exactly a Minecraft, but it's like in that genre or adjacent to that genre, so that makes more sense for early access. I do want to push back a little bit. I do think that what you're talking about with third person is preferential. It's entirely preferential. Now, a lot of people actually agree with you. The pushback or the reaction to Indiana Jones really surprised me, because a lot of people didn't want that game in first person at all. And it's kind of brought to light an interesting conversation in general about people saying that they just don't really prefer first-person games in general. Some people say they give them motion sickness even, or they just don't really enjoy them as much as first-person. They don't like the field of view. They don't like the perspective. So I totally understand that being people's preference, that they don't want to play first-person games or they would prefer not to. I'm just sort of surprised by that. I didn't realize that that was an opinion held by so many people. But I do think that you're kind of speaking to that a little bit. Like, I think the people that don't mind first person don't have any issues with the first person isms of this game. Like, I don't think that they will when they get hands on with it, or if they could see the freaking gameplay that they didn't show in the showcase, then I think that they would like what they saw, or they at least wouldn't be like, oh, it's bad because it's in first person.
I have a good opportunity. Hang on just one second. Pause. I have a good opportunity to showcase what I'm talking about. So he's about to fight this bear, okay? And he blocks and then has to readjust his camera down. And to me, it's like, it just looks like, that doesn't look enjoyable to me. It's like, he doesn't just fluidly block the bear and then go to the next animation. It's like, the camera panned up for the block, he has to pan back down. It's like, that is why it feels awkward to me. Like, in a shooting game, you're almost always kind of keeping your crosshair in the center, and you're maybe you're looking up on a ledge, maybe you're looking sort of down over a ledge, but generally you're sort of aiming down sight, aiming down center. And in a melee-based game, like it's like he had to readjust the camera. It's like, why?
Yeah,
it doesn't look like an enjoyable experience to me.
No, in a shooter, you have to manage recoil. Like, you're going to be shooting and your gun is going to be going up, so you have to do that as well. I think you're just proving my point. Like, it entirely comes down to player preference. You don't seem to enjoy, from at least my assessment from what you're saying, is that you don't
awkward.
Seem to enjoy first-person isms with first-person games. And what I'm warranting is that there's apparently a lot of people out there that totally agree with you and hold the same preference. I just think that those criticisms are coming from that place of preferentially not wanting games to, more often than not, be in first person because you have to deal with the game being in first person. There's people that are completely unbothered by that in shooters and melee combat games and first person alike, and there's people who really just would much rather play a third person game. I think your criticisms are coming from that place. I don't know that people that enjoy first person games like Doom and Call of Duty and Kingdom Come Deliverance, I guess, think that those games feel like VR games or look like VR games. Like, I think that that is coming from the perspective of that preference. And I also think that it speaks somewhat to the graphical style. Like, the games that you mentioned were Avowed, Sea of Thieves, and I think Grounded was in that conversation as well. Mm-hmm. The graphical style of all three of those games is much more VR-esque, you know? Whereas, like, I don't think that people would say that a game with incredibly high fidelity, like, I'm not even sure of a great example, but a game with incredibly high fidelity looks like it's in VR. I mean, Call of Duty campaigns certainly don't look like they're in VR. So I think that's more kind of that dinky Sea of Thieves, anatomically incorrect kind of aesthetic and graphical style. I definitely think that Sea of Thieves looks like a VR game because of how the game, the art design of that game, the way the characters and all the enemies look and everything. And Avowed sort of has some of that. It feels like it has some of that DNA in there as well.
Yeah.
But again, I think that what they showed most recently looks the best. Like, it took it from feeling like Sea of Thieves to almost looking like this game and Fable, like maybe traded art styles since the initial trailer of what, when they first announced Avowed. Like, it's interesting that, like, Fable, that used to be this kind of dinky little fun cartoonish looking franchise, and sorry if those aren't the right words or adjectives to describe it, is now looking like a lot more photorealistic from what they've shown. And then this game kind of is taking the color palette and the look of the older Fable games, and it kind of has that storybook type of aesthetic to it. Or you could even say Dragon Age is in that conversation as well. Like, it's musical chairs with all of these game aesthetics and the world and atmosphere. But I don't think that anybody that really enjoys first-person games and enjoys particularly first-person Western RPGs is going to have any problem with what you're talking about. Maybe the combat, but again, I think that the people that are down for that ride, like, I'm talking about people that enjoyed Starfield. I'm talking about people that would sit down and play the entirety of the Forgotten City and have a good time and think that was a good game. Like, there is an audience for that. I just think that you may not be in that audience. I'm only like halfway in the door. Like, it's like 1 foot in the door, 1 foot out. Like, I definitely can enjoy those type of games. They're not like my bread and butter or like the end all be all for me. Like, I think there's definitely other genres and other game types that I get into and really enjoy more. But like, this definitely feels like something that I would want to play. Only after the footage that they showed in this podcast that they didn't advertise well. And I don't know why that's the case. And it just kind of all is representing maybe like a larger problem. I'm not sure. I don't really have anything to go off of other than the weird cadence of rollout of the marketing of what they've shown. And so it's like, hey, all I have to say is if you guys could use more time, take it. Because you haven't been able to hype this game up well. So nobody's really champing at the bit for it to come out. Like who is like waiting on bated breath for this game to come out this fall or winter? You know, like, I mean, like
a lot of people, because they're doing the same thing. This harkens back to what we debated last week. It's showed up numerous times. They've been talking about it for years, and I think this is something Xbox, now that they have such a massive amount of property, they just need to stop doing that. Like, come out. Like, I think what Dragon Age the Veilguard has done is exactly what you should do. You stay super quiet, and all of a sudden, boom. You have an extensive gameplay look. The game's coming this year, and they're on a marketing tour. And I also think, just to give a little bit of pushback on some things, yes, when you're in first person and a gun recoils, that is an active immersion point of, as I'm shooting the gun, I'm trying to control it. I think in melee combat, everything, every sort of piece of combat is animation centric. So you bring up the sword to block, or you swing the sword, and those animations affecting where my camera ends up, I just think that feels awkward. Like, when I'm actively shooting a gun, I can control the camera. When the sword comes up and goes back down, and now my camera angle's different and it needs to be reset, I've played games like Asgard's Wrath 2 on MetaQuest. And so that's a melee-based game. And I'm swinging my hands, and my camera angle is always independently affected by my head, like wherever my head decides to look. So I can swing, block, I can do all this stuff, and the camera's unaffected. I always feel like in first-person games like this, it's like everything I'm doing is affecting the camera in a negative way. So that's why I want third-person for melee. The other thing you said that really made me think of something is, I would love to play Sea of Thieves VR. Like, you said that, and I was like, oh, wow, that'd be such an amazing update to that game.
If VR had any legs whatsoever, that they would be trying to figure out how to do that. But I don't know. It would be interesting to see what of the player base would actually want to play in VR, or if they could get new player base for that. But
I just love sailing. Yeah. I just love sailing in that game, and I think it's the perfect VR
would
for
be
VR.
Cool.
It would be really, really fun. But I think you're right. I think VR is always going to be in a troublesome spot because the demand just isn't there. It's expensive. Yeah. You got to put something on your head. People get motion sick. It's a hard sell.
I do think your take on first person games is weird. Like, the idea that you're like saying that in a shooter you're going to have recoil and that's immersive. But in a game where you sword fight enemies and you put your sword up and you block an attack and there's knockback from that and you have to readjust your camera, that's not immersive. I don't understand what you're talking about.
It's because they're separated. It reminds me that I'm playing a video game. When I'm shooting the gun, I'm actively attempting to control the gun as it's shooting. It's not like I shoot the gun and I'm like, oh, time to reset the camera. Oh, shoot the gun, time to reset the camera. It almost truncates it. It separates everything. So it's like block, all right, reset the camera. Swing, all right, reset the camera. Everything's more separated, so that feels like it's almost like immersion breaking because there's not this seamlessness, there's not this fluidity. That's why when I feel like I'm in third person, the camera kind of just does its job. It's just kind of behind me, and it lets me do the swings, the blocks, the parries, the dashes, the rolls, and everything goes...
Lazy gaming.
I don't know if it's lazy. I feel like it allows for a fluidity where one thing goes right into the next instead of having these like moments of, oh, well, now I have to fiddle with the camera. I think some of it's FOV. It's so zoomed in. Also, in the gameplay they've shown us, it's so zoomed in. Everything he does, it feels like I'm like on a Rock'em Sock'em ride. It's like everything he's doing, the camera's kind of going up and down. That's another reason why I really want to see third-person gameplay of this game, because it does look like something that I would enjoy, especially knowing it's not going to be that long. I wonder if that's going to be a criticism from fans of RPGs, that it's not going to be this huge long-tail game.
Have they commented on length?
Yes, apparently it's going to be closer to Outer Worlds in scope, I believe.
But that game's not short, right?
It takes around 15 hours to beat Outer Worlds. And so it'll roughly double that if you explore the RPG side content. So if Avowed is like that, that's a huge spectrum of like 15 to 40 something hours. So to me, I actually think that's perfect, because if I only want to play a game for about 15 to 20 hours, I can, and then the hardcore guy next to me can unearth every nook and cranny and he can hit 40 hours. I mean, where would you land on a game like this? How would you engage with length?
I mean, this is definitely like one where I would not be trying to fast track to the end. Like, I think I would be trying to get as much out of the RPG systems as I could. I'd be doing the side quests and everything. For instance, when I played Stellar Blade, like, I think you can beat that game in 15-ish hours, but my playthrough took roughly almost 30. I didn't quite hit the 30 mark when I beat the final boss. And I think you were something similar. So I think like this game is for a certain type of audience. If anybody's going into it and beating it in 12 to 15 hours, I don't know that they engage with the game in the way that the developers intended people to.
Sure.
Like, sure, they'd be happy to have you, and they're glad that you played their game. But like, I think there's going to be a lot there for the people that are going to be putting extra time into it. There's a larger narrative here of that I think people, again, like I said earlier in the show, are very rabid for an Elder Scrolls or an Elder Scrolls adjacent game, especially when all we've gotten is the MMO for like years now. What has it been? Almost 15 years since Skyrim? It's been 12 or 13, I think, since Skyrim originally released. So like, that's a long time to not get a game in a particular franchise. And so I do think Obsidian bit off a little more than they can chew here. And I also don't know, I don't want to stick my foot in my mouth here, but I don't know what part of Obsidian is working on this game. Like, I don't know if this is the A team or B team, I guess is all I'll say. I don't know. I have no idea. So I don't know what part of Obsidian is working on this game, but they obviously have other projects, including Outer Worlds 2. And I just wonder if they've kind of set out to make a game in a genre that is evocative of certain games that have come out in that genre that are from a competitor that they often get compared to because of the fact that they made a Fallout game that arguably and ostensibly is better than any of the other Fallout games. So they kind of invited the comparisons. They kind of have stepped into this genre knowing that those comparisons would happen. And it's like, they're already trying to do damage control, it feels like. Like, they're already trying to prep people, hey, it's like Outer Worlds, like, it's not quite as long, and it's not meant to be an Elder Scrolls, it's not meant to be open world, it's not meant to be all these things. And, oh, it's the Pillars team, thank you, WGC. It's meant to be a Pillars game, kind of, but, like, in third person, and everybody's like, yeah, but I want Elder Scrolls, I think. You know, you'll have the Pillars fans that come through, you'll have the true Obsidian fans that come through, but like the mass market appeal of this game is basically just going to be like, you like Skyrim, right? Like, they can't avoid that. Like, there's no way that you can try to mass market this game and get a lot of people interested in it and not be like, hey kids, you liked Skyrim, didn't you? Like, so they're screwed. Like, they're screwed regardless. It's gonna be a very like in the weeds invested type of Western RPG that people that like, like, it's basically a CRPG, I think, but it's kind of doing what Skull and Bones did for the, like, maritime trade and strategy genre, but it just, like, put it in third-person perspective and, like, casualized it, and then people are like, this is weird, I don't like this. Like, I think that's kind of what this game is going to be like. Like, people are going to go into it thinking they're going to get Skyrim, thinking they're going to get Assassin's Creed Black Flag in the analogy, and they're actually getting, like, a top-down CRPG in first or third person that is kind of in the casual looking presentation of an Elder Scrolls game, maybe more of like an Oblivion than a Skyrim. And I think people are going to be like, this isn't really what I wanted out of this. And then they're just going to put it down. But I do think it won't be a flop. I do think it'll do just fine. I think the outliers for reviews will probably be nines and sevens. Like, the real like RPG appreciators that review this for various outlets are going to maybe give it a 9. And then I think people that don't get it are going to give it a 7, maybe a couple of 6s. But I think this is going to be around like the high 70s, low 80s Metacritic and Open Critic range probably. And that's like, you know, Xbox can just be like, all right, you know, like another good, you know, above average game that we put out. Like, well, we're happy with that.
Yeah, I think I want to push back on what you're saying a little bit because maybe this will prove to people that I'm being genuine when I say the game looks good, promising, it's looked better every time. Please just delay it if the devs need more time to polish the gameplay, because I think that's going to be a huge deal breaker for people. If the combat feels janky, they're not going to get to the meat, they're not going to get to the good stuff, because I do think there's good stuff here. I don't think I agree that they're doing damage control. I think they're being very honest about, like, what is this game going to offer to people? And if people come at it expecting Skyrim, I would say that's their own fault. I've not seen anything in the footage that maybe communicates that. Maybe that's a good reason they really did a huge art direction departure from that first trailer, because maybe that art direction would have subversively set that expectation of, oh, it's going to be like a Skyrim. I also don't know if I agree they bit off more than they could chew from the actual Obsidian documentary that they did where they talked about this game. they actually were shopping the game and using multiplayer, because I guess that was like a buzzword at the time with publishers, was multiplayer, which we know why, right? People want the ability to have ongoing monetization, and multiplayer is a great way to do that because you keep people playing the game. And they basically said, as they started building the structure of the game and the missions and the quests, they realized their core competency was sort of going to buck up against trying to make it work in a co-op environment. I am paraphrasing, but that's essentially what they said. And I actually respect that the developer said, listen, if we do this, we're going to compromise what we're good at. And I think that's fundamentally what happened with Redfall. The team said, we don't even really know if we want to build a multiplayer game, and they were kind of forced to, or either that, or they didn't vocalize their frustration strong enough. I feel like Obsidian did the opposite, and they said, we're not going to build a game that we're not really equipped to build. Let's build a game we are equipped to build. Now, maybe that's why the combat doesn't look particularly strong, because maybe that's not their strong suit. Maybe their strong suit is the dialogue systems, the questing, the RPG mechanics, the build, the choices, right? The player volition impacting outcomes. Maybe that's where they feel they're better suited, which is why I'm saying, if they need more time to get that combat feeling good, I would say take that time. That's the vehicle of engaging with this game's world. I don't think you can navigate this game's world and be like, oh, it's fine if the combat feels kind of bad or disjointed or janky. I think that's going to like kind of like buck people right off the horse. They're not even going to be able to get immersed into what I feel they've taken great care with. I do feel like they've taken great care with creating environments that have a unique feel and art style and story and characters that you're going to become interested in. And I'm worried combat's going to really get in the way of that, which is why I'm saying, if you need more time, please take it. We did not hear good feedback from people who played Stalker at Summer Game Fest, another game that I'm worried is being forced to push their game out because these games are being put on Game Pass. And I think that cadence, that need for cadence that Xbox has set up, I'm sitting here looking at games thinking, we don't have release dates for Avowed. We don't have release dates for Indiana Jones. We have a release date for Stalker 2. It was delayed, and we heard from people with hands-on that it is not ready. And that, to me, is you showed up to Summer Game Fest with a demo that isn't ready. Like, okay, well, what about Avowed? Are there previews? Has anybody had hands-on?
No. Isn't that weird? Like, nobody has walked away from SGF and been like, I played Avowed, and it was good. Or I played Avowed, and it wasn't good. Like, apparently nobody played it. Like, why is the only place that they're showing this gameplay in this weird pod, this 28-minute podcast with Tina Amini? Like, I don't understand. That's so bizarre. People had more time in back rooms with Dragon Age Veilguard apparently than this game, which
and
is
that,
so
and that's
bizarre.
Been nothing but praise from people that got to play it.
Yeah,
like, that's been very positive.
Which we don't know why, but no, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. But speaking of hot takes, I'm gonna throw down some sauce here. Because we haven't had quite as much of a spicy episode as last time. I'm not just doing it for the sake thereof. I really do feel this way.
Okay, right before you throw down your sauce, we want to have this as a part of the discussion. It's going to be playable at Gamescom is what we're hearing. So maybe we're dealing with a game that they just... They weren't ready.
Yeah.
For it to not be ready and playable for a demo at Summer Showcase or Summer Game Fest...
That's everything. If that's true,
That could be good or bad. I want developers working on their games, not vertical slices.
Right, but delay it. That's the whole point of this show, right? Is like if you're ready to have people go hands on 2 months later, delay it by 2 months at least. Like the fact that this game showed up to Summer Games Fest the way that it did, which is basically it didn't show up, but also here's a deep dive if you want to watch it. It's like, oh man, like I really do think a delay would be so prudent for this game. I hope it gets delayed because I'm very happy with what I saw here, but we both can tell that they're up against it time-wise. They never have what they need to show. It, honestly, in retrospect, it's so weird that this game was even at the developer direct that they had this past spring, or maybe it was February, but like, this game should have skipped that entirely, and they just should have been head down and maybe they show that trailer and then they just show up to Gamescom in full force. Again, what you're talking about with like Xbox marketing, which I agreed with in our Fable discussion, Xbox marketing is weird and they don't make the best decisions. Even if the game maybe looks more than competent or enjoyable, the marketing can kind of almost detract from that at times. Also, please don't say "before you lay down your sauce" ever again, to be honest. Whatever you said, I'm not sure.
Well, okay, everybody get ready. Kirk's going to lay down his sauce.
Oh, no.
Lay your sauce down. Put your sauce on us. We're all waiting for your sauce.
Pause. When you draw the comparison between the devs at Obsidian deciding to make a game in the scope of what they know they're capable of, and chat, you gotta chill, the game that they're capable of and that's in their wheelhouse, and Arkane Austin kind of being directed toward doing Redfall, and Redfall being this live service kind of looter shooter that like every corporate entity wants, every publisher wants their developers to make right now, mm-hmm. or at least they did in the past couple of years. Maybe finally after Suicide Squad with Rocksteady doing that we're maybe finally over this. Like BioWare didn't work, Rocksteady didn't work, Arkane Austin didn't work. I think that is its own phenomenon of these devs that like made traditionally really great single player games being put on development for these type of online, you know, live service games, and that not going well, to like, that's not the same as like Obsidian basically being tasked with, ostensibly, like, I don't have any proof of this, but like based on the initial trailer, they're tasked with like making this Western RPG that like maybe can rival Elder Scrolls. Or at the very least, you're saying that they're choosing not to make an Elder Scrolls. Like, they're going to do what they're good at. Like, that's more of a competence issue to me. It's like, I'm sorry if I hurt anybody's feelings. Elder Scrolls is better than Pillars of Eternity. Like, I'm just going to put that out there. Like, that's why it has the acclaim that it has. Elder Scrolls is a better franchise than Pillars of Eternity. Elder Scrolls games are really good. And there's a reason that they're so popular. If Obsidian is deciding, hey, we can't make an Elder Scrolls because that's not in our wheelhouse, that's not what we do well, that's a competence issue. Like, that's not the same as Arkane Austin saying, hey, maybe don't make us make Redfall. That's not a good idea. That game's not going to do well because it's a live service and we don't do that well. And only Bungie really knows how to do that, with the exception of maybe Ubisoft Massive. Please don't make us do that. To Obsidian being like, yeah, we can't make Elder Scrolls. Like we're not able to do that. Why? Like, I'm not sure why they're not able to do that. So, like, I'm not willing to give them a pass for what you're saying is a positive of them saying, oh, we scaled it down because we know that's what we're good at. I mean, and that's why people aren't necessarily going to be as excited for this as a blockbuster hit that is full scale. Like, that's why people like the games that Sony first party studios put out, like God of War and Spider-Man, because they're big, they're awesome, they're bombastic, they have a lot going for them. That's why people like Bethesda's Elder Scrolls games, because they have all that depth and all that scope. If they decided that they weren't capable of doing that, that just means that they're not capable. And I'm not willing to say like, oh, good on you for figuring that out. Like, I think it would be better if they made a better game that was more comprehensive and had more quality. And that's just how I feel.
I'm gonna add some. I'm not trying to do FUD here. Fear, uncertainty, and doubt. I'm gonna add a little bit of fear to the equation. As you said that, I like. Well, let me go look at their last game. Okay. Pillars of Eternity 2 came out in 2018. It came to console in 2020. All right. Good scores all around. High 80s on user scores. High 80s on Metacritic. 40 something hours to complete it. 40. And completionist runs are like 96. So I don't see a lack of competency there. It seems like, okay, yeah, highly praised RPG, Pillars of Eternity 2, lots of playtime, right? Lots of depth, high and users and Metacritic scores that are good. So I would say these guys are competent. So to me, if we start stacking up all of the things that we've heard, it's that they cut co-op, they change the art direction, And now it's a smaller in scope game, you know.
Like, cutting co-op is great. I love that. I think we both agree there. I don't want to act like we're opposed on that. No, I'm very much happy with that. But sorry.
But you could look at it from a particular angle and you could say, wow, you've really trimmed the game down. What made you do that? We've heard other Xbox first-party studio games that went through similar threshing floors of trim. Halo Infinite, for example, trimmed a bunch of its content and removed before launch. And now we've got another game from an Xbox first-party studio.
Yeah, but that's not good. That's not good, Lone. Like, that's like, man.
I'm not saying it's good. I'm not
LeBron or Steph Curry. I'll just be the sixth man that gets subbed in and you know, averages 6 points a game. Like, yeah, that might help a team win a championship, but like that's it's not a loser mentality, but it's like you're not doing things that you're not applying yourself to the best of your ability. If you're like, oh, we'll just stick with what we can manage. No, shoot higher. Or if you're willing to be defeatist and say, ah, man, we can't make an Elder Scrolls. We'll just make a smaller scope game where Lona's going to talk about the combat looking like VR for 20 minutes. Like, that's not what you should aspire to. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Obsidian. Do better. If you did do better, a lot more people would be excited about your game. I hope that you get the time that you need to make.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Listen up, people. Over the years, I've learned how important hydration is in my workouts and everyday life. It's the key to helping my body move, recover, and just have a good time when I'm exercising and staying active. Things go even better when I'm well hydrated before I even start moving. Noom Hydration doesn't want you to wait to hydrate. They want you to start hydrated. Noom Sport Hydration Tablets hydrate better than water alone. Just drop them in your water, dissolve, and enjoy. They contain 5 essential electrolytes and come in crisp and refreshing flavors like strawberry lemonade, lemon lime, and many more. They also have non-GMO vegan and gluten-free ingredients and only 1 gram of sugar. Noom hydrates you so you can do more, go further, and recover faster. And that means you can have a heck of a lot more fun. Since hydrated humans have the most fun, head over to shop now on noonlife.com and pick some up today so you're ready for anything. Because anything can happen after noon.
The best game that you can, but in a sense, what you're praising them for is them already willingly giving up on making the best game that they could because they didn't want to push the envelope. They didn't want to be innovative and evolve beyond what they already did with the Outer Worlds. They didn't strive for greater. And that's why you don't see a lot of buzz and excitement about this game, is because it's a known quantity, or the things that we don't know about it are concerning. Like, nothing about this is pushing the genre forward. Nothing about it is groundbreaking. And, like, it's so evident from the discourse about it, from what they've shown, and from what they haven't shown. And it's like, I'm not going to praise them for that. In fact, I'm willing to be a little bit critical that this is, like, ho-hum for a reason. It's because they set their sights at average to above average. Let's go with above average. I don't want to stick my foot in my mouth. They set their sights at above average. They didn't set their sights at 90. Like, okay. If you're making games and you're not trying to hit 90 and you're not an independent developer, what are we doing? Like, I don't know what we're doing.
I may have failed to communicate properly in that what I just said previously. I was actually arguing you could look at this from an angle and say this is all concerning. I wasn't praising them. I was saying they have the chops to do a good RPG, a lengthy RPG based on Pillars of Eternity 2. And I'm like, this could be concerning. We now have another game that looks like it's trimmed itself down. Now, I could look at it from another angle, okay? So I wasn't trying to praise them for those things. I did give them praise for cutting co-op. I'm like, okay, don't do something that you're not good at.
Yeah, that's great. Okay. I mean, like, look at Wolfenstein. Was it Youngblood? This is a horrible concept right. for a game. Yeah, right. Don't do that.
So you could look at it from an angle and say, this is super concerning. These guys know what they're doing with RPGs, and they're building a short RPG. They trim the game down. They remove multiplayer. They change the art style. You know, why would they do all that? Well, you know, the skeptic in me says, the Series S has struck again, okay? But then I could look at it from a positive angle, and I could say, now, wait a minute. What if they wanted to sort of put Pillars and Outer Worlds in a blender and give us a game sort of with the feel of both? Like, it's got the first person, maybe it's a little bit more lighthearted, a little bit more approachable, a little bit more streamlined, not quite as long, and yet it has that Pillars touch. Like, I could look at it from that positive angle and say, is this their meager, mediocre effort, or is it their attempt to blend two things that they think people will like, you know, kind of coming together and meeting in the middle? I think you could look at it from two different perspectives here.
Am I wrong, though? Like, the premise of that is that it's an 80 max. Like, the premise is not... Like, we don't even have to see the game that much. I want to retract that. We always want to see the game, and I want to be consistent about that, because I've been consistent about that in the past. What I'm trying to say is, on paper, premise wise we can start to anticipate the ceiling for the critical reception of that type of game, because it's an old style of game. Like, if you're gonna do that, then be Zaum that made Disco Elysium and push the genre forward. Aim higher. Like, that is, we want to talk about sauce. Like, the secret sauce that they're missing here is that nothing is evident from what they are trying to do with this game, that they're trying to aim higher. They're not even willing to try to go up against a game that came out in 2011. Like, who is this for? Like, I'm going to play it, I'm going to enjoy it, but, like, I don't know. Like, it just seems very, like, yeah, we're in our own lane, and we make these type of games, and, like, that's what we make, and they're, you know, they're good. Like, I don't know. I would have liked to have seen more. Maybe it's fatigue over, like, Xbox in general, that, like, I really like Xbox. I show up and I praise Xbox, but, like, I want to see Xbox come out with a game that is just unequivocally a banger and everybody thinks it's good. And it's okay. Like, you're not okay. in the conception phase, you're not even cooking up a premise and an idea for what you're going to try to make that even has the capability of reaching that height. Why would you set out to make something that is only above average? Why would you not be like a Larian and say, you know what? F it. We're going to make Baldur's Gate 3, and it's going to be the best damn game that anybody's ever seen. Or Hades. We're going to make the best damn Greek mythology-based roguelike anyone could have ever thought could exist. And then we're going to do it again in 2. Like, why are you not approaching game dev for that perspective? And maybe if you were, marketing the game would be a little bit easier. I'm not sure, but maybe it would.
Okay, all right. I understand now where you're coming from, because I was like, why do they need to shoot high? And I think you're maybe viewing them under the umbrella of Xbox. Like, you feel like Xbox hasn't come out swinging with a first-party title that like really aims high, which I don't know if that's fair to Obsidian, because, like, I think Pillars of Eternity 1 and 2 are critically acclaimed and beloved, and so is Outer Worlds. So I feel like these guys don't need to aim high. They don't need to push the genre forward. I'm actually okay with them saying, let's put Pillars and Outer Worlds in a blender and give people something that's sort of the best of both. It doesn't need to be a 50-hour RPG. And maybe they didn't want to do another Pillars game. Maybe they wanted to try something new. They likely learned a lot from their time with Outer Worlds and thought, hey, what if we incorporated some of this in a game that is sort of very Pillars, but not the full-on 40 to 50 hour game where, you know, one run through is going to take you a significant commitment. So I can appreciate maybe looking at Xbox as a large studio owner and saying, you guys really haven't hit a home run yet. You've got some games on base, but you're wanting to see something highbrow or high marks from them, award winning. And I don't think that's the goal with Avowed, which I'm actually totally okay with that. I actually want games to maybe just focus on being really good and not every game has to be earth shattering.
I am too, because I love a good Pentiment, which was Obsidian actually. A fantastic game for what it was. And obviously I support games like Hi-Fi Rush. It's incredibly unfortunate and almost a little bit infuriating that Xbox closed Tango after that game did so well and it was the darling that it was. So maybe I should retract that statement about Xbox. I think I can articulate actually what it is for me.
Okay.
And this is, to be very clear, this is very opinionated. I want to wear that on my sleeve. Like, I'm not, trying to preach this like it's just, like, factual. This is very much my opinion. But, you know how, like, a while ago we had, like, zombie game fatigue, and before that we had military first-person shooter game fatigue, because there were a lot of games in those genres, and it was like, oh, here's another one, and, like, Days Gone kind of suffered from that. Like, nobody was really excited for Days Gone because, like, The Last of Us already exists and, like, other games, zombie games already exist. And then Sony Ben comes out with this game, Days Gone, and people are like, okay, what is it doing that other games haven't done before? And they're like, you have a motorcycle. Like, and it's just like, everybody's like, nah, that ain't it, Chief. And, like, that's, I think it's fatigue. Like, I can go play Kingdom Come Deliverance. I can go play Skyrim from over a decade ago. Like, and there's so many others. Like, this is a genre. Western fantasy RPGs, even not even Western, but, like, fantasy RPGs is such an oversaturated genre that, like, if Obsidian is going to be like, oh, we're going to do this, like, the same thing they did with Outer Worlds, but Starfield didn't exist yet. Like, that was an interesting concept of, like, we're going to take Fallout, like, New Vegas, I guess, and, like, we're going to do a small scope version of that in space. It's going to be wacky and hokey and enjoyable and lighthearted and fun, but also have, like, the great, fantastic Obsidian RPG mechanics that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
That, as a concept, was innovative. Like, it didn't have to be a blockbuster hit.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is, if you're going to come into a genre that is so oversaturated, where there's at least 20 games in this genre that I could go and play that are great, that are maybe not even new, like, they're old, and if you're going to, like, add to that library, and your game doesn't necessarily even outperform, like, in terms of game experience and, like, what it's like to play it, what the quality of it is, games that came out 5 to 10 years ago, like, you're just adding fodder to the genre. Like, it's just a fatigue of, like, what is a genre that, like, I think a lot of people enjoy, and there's a lot of great games in it, but, like, why do we need yours? Show me something. You haven't shown me hardly any of the game at all, but it'd be great if they could show me something that was self-evident. Like, it communicates, this is why this game is a great addition to the genre, to that library of this type of game.
Right.
And, like, everything that we've seen is just like, well, we're good at making these games, so we thought we'd make one.
It's kind of like my commentary on Concord. Like, do we really need another 5v5 hero shooter?
Yes, that is okay. That's my issue with this game. Yeah, totally.
I think what I would say to push back is that, 5v5 hero shooters, there's a range of experience and replayability there, and I think in an RPG there's a greater range of player volition, player choice, and experiences to be had. So, like, I actually think this game is offering me something that I like, and that's, oh, I can finish this game in around 20 to 25 hours, and I've had a good time. And that, to me, is personal preference. That, to me, is what makes some of these games appealing, is that I loved playing Gunfire Reborn with my wife. It's basically a rogue shooter inspired by, I would say, Borderlands and other games like it. And the reason we liked it so much is because it gave us the morsel-sized experience of a Borderlands, but we didn't have to play beginning to end an entire Borderlands game, you know, and deal with all of that. It's like sometimes you just want something that's a little bit more piecemeal. And I experienced something similar the other day with Elden Ring's DLC. I beat the first boss. I realized I was going to have to kind of like go back down through this area that I wasn't enjoying all that often. And I was like, okay, I know what this game is going to demand of me, and I don't want to do this right now. I'm not interested. Okay. So I look at a game like Avowed, and surprisingly enough, in this conversation, I feel like I'm the one that's trying to be more positive, to be like, I think this game looks like it's up my alley. I want this game to land. Please delay it if you need more time. And I think you're saying, if you're going to step into this genre, you need to bring more to the table. Like, if you're going to step, like what I would say to Concord is...
Well, not need. I would just like you to. Like, so, like people in chat are kind of, you know, giving me a lot of pushback, saying what you're saying, they can't make the game they want to make, or unless you're going to do something innovative, you can't make a game. Absolutely not saying that. What I'm simply saying is, if you're going to make a game that is not particularly unique, and what you show me is not particularly compelling beyond, oh, I like games in this genre, so I'll probably play yours and enjoy it, then I'm allowed to critique that for it being ho-hum. Like, that's all I'm really doing. I'm not saying that this is, like, you know, a pile of poo. I'm just saying, like, I guess I'm just pleading with them to please make me excited about this. Show me something that makes me excited about this game, because you're marketing it terribly. The best bit of gameplay is buried in this weird podcast that people had to tell me to go watch because you didn't put it in your showcase. Like, I don't...
This reminds me of the conversation I just had about Dragon Age: The Veilguard. It's like, why can't you guys showcase awesome gameplay? Is it because the game isn't ready? Is it because the game's rough? Or is it because they just don't have that in their concept of, well, that's not really the point of the marketing. Like, the point of the marketing is just to kind of showcase the various biomes and the various things you can do. Because the Dragon Age Veilguard gameplay showcase, to me, I would argue that was a mistake. It was like, you guys did a bad job showing this game off. If you were going to try to like quell everybody's fears about, you know, is this too big of a departure from Dragon Age? And they showed what felt like very basic mobile game combat. And it's like, I know there's more to Dragon Age's combat than what we saw. And that's why when I saw this, somebody literally in my community said, there are parts of this deep dive that look much better, Lono. You've got to go check it out. And I saw it, and we just watched it. We're watching it right now. The enemy is actively reacting to being hit. And I was like, that looks great. And
it looks
like,
good.
Can you please let me see third person? And can you please let me see, you know, exactly what it would look like to do all the various different attacks in third person? Like, what's magic look like compared to melee? I want to see these dashes. Like, is it really good moment-to-moment action? And I do feel like there was an interview recently that really contextualized a lot of this for me, and maybe that's just helped me adjust expectations. There was an interview where they basically said, you know, is it an action RPG? And essentially the guy said it's an RPG first. Like, they didn't focus on making an action game. They focus on making an RPG first. It does have action elements in it.
But then, to your credit, you made a comment earlier about, well, why is everything that they've shown, it placed a high emphasis on combat?
Sure.
And I would go back to what I said earlier. They're in between a rock and a hard place, because there's the game that they want to make that is very in the weeds with the RPG systems that everybody that likes those systems is really going to enjoy. That the Pillar fan base is really going to enjoy this game in this world, being from this perspective, I'd imagine. Like, it's going to be a good game. But the problem with it is that, like, they are trying to market it to people that enjoy this genre and that enjoy games like Elder Scrolls and that enjoy, like, games at large. And, like, there's a lot of people out there that have never played a Pillars of Eternity game. And, like, maybe this will be a gateway for them, but I think what I'm airing out right now is frustration in a game that I really, really want to be good, not showing itself or marketing itself in a way that is compelling or interesting. And it's not that I don't think the game is going to be good. I guess I have a little bit of PTSD from Skull and Bones. Not that this is going to be anything like that, but I just don't want this game to come out and people be like, oh, it's not Assassin's Creed Black Flag. It's not Elder Scrolls. And then everybody like craps on it for like a week. Like, people are saying, like, Kirk, you just said that it's better to be positive. You're absolutely right. I want to be positive about this game in the way that Lono is often like a little more critical or a little more anxious about a game that he is actually very interested in or likes, a la Hellblade. I really like what they're doing with this game. I like how evocative it is of the older Elder Scrolls games, and it seems like it could be a good addition to this genre, but I don't understand why. I don't know if they're just not showing it well or if that is just the game. And if this is just the game, then it does look above average. Like, it doesn't look like anything incredibly impressive. It looks like a Game Pass game. And that's fine. I love Game Pass games. I really do. But I don't know. I guess I would like... We haven't gotten a huge Western fantasy RPG like this in a while, unless I'm misspeaking. Like, you can go play Kingdom Come, and that's a great game. But, like, I don't know, man. I would love another Elder Scrolls adjacent game. And there's a lot of people who would love like a really good like Kingdoms of Amalur game. And like I really just hope that this can deliver. But right now I'm just like I'm cautiously optimistic. We'll leave it at that, I guess. Even right. If I'm not articulating it well, it's like I think I started that way, and then as the show goes on, it's like there's these little frustrations that are kind of seeping out that are carryovers from like when we talked about this last time of like, okay, but like why wasn't it ready at SGF? And like, I don't know if that makes me hypocritical after we talked about Fable and I was sort of critical of you, but like we have seen a lot of this game and I like what I see, but I think it's just the way that they are communicating to the prospective player audience like what this game is that like I'm not vibing with it in particular. And maybe that's just a me thing. I don't know.
I think to kind of close this out, guys, take a quick second too, if you've enjoyed the back and forth, like, you know, Kirk and I, obviously, you know, the benefit of a show like this is different perspectives. And if you've enjoyed the show today, take a quick second and smash that like button. We only need about 40 of you to hit 200 likes. That will help more people find this show later. And we have had people watch these later. So if you're watching this later, man, thank you for doing that. Leave a comment. We try to respond. I know Kirk has even circled back and kind of responded. To kind of land the plane here, I would say I'm more comforted by the fact that they're not trying to hype up the game and they're just being maybe more meager with how they market it. I think that maybe makes me feel better instead of like... over-promising. Like, I feel like I actually have a good idea of what this game's going to feel like, and I would
there's
rather say...
to it. Yeah. Think, like, there's an honesty. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I would rather know going into this, this is going to be about an 8, and that's okay, right? And to me, it's like, I would rather know that going in instead of being like, oh my gosh, this is going to be mind-blowing, and then you're like, yeah, it's like an 8, maybe a 7.5. So I actually appreciate... the positioning, which is why the position I've taken today is please, please, for the sake of this game, is if it's not ready, delay it. Take all the time you need. I have a stream on this channel saying delay Starfield. Please make it as good as possible. And we're seeing with all the improvements coming to Starfield that that game probably could have taken another year in the oven and would have been significantly better.
I think if this game was coming out next fall, like next holiday, I'd feel better about it. Like I think I'm psyched for what this game could be. I don't know if I'm going to be psyched for what the game ultimately is. And there's a lot of reasons for that. It's the fact that they never really seem to have something really impressive to show at the time that they need to show it. And they always seem to be on the back foot. And it's like, well, we don't have it at the Developer Direct. We'll have it at SDF. Well, now we have something that we should have had then, but we don't have what we should have now. We'll have it at Gamescom. And so, like, hopefully that doesn't continue. But I don't mean to be incredibly negative about the game. I want them to put out a product that is as well-crafted as it possibly could be. And I want it to have things that are characteristically compelling and interesting and unique so that it doesn't just feel like genre fodder. And I see glimpses of that. I really do. But I am worried that it's going to be a little bit indistinguishable from the rest of this genre. And that's really the only criticism that I could possibly levy about this game and what I've seen is, like, it just looks like it's going to go in that library, like people's backlog or whatever, of like, oh, that, yeah, that's another one I need to get to. You know, like, it already kind of has that vibe. And, like, those games are great, like, all of them. And I hope I have the time to, you know, go play Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 when that comes out. Like, is that going to be a groundbreaking, award-winning game? Maybe, but, like, also maybe not. But no doubt it's going to be an enjoyable experience, and no doubt this will be an enjoyable experience too. Yeah. I'm not sure that it's going to be anything that people really, really walk away from and say, "Wow, that was an incredible experience! Like, I've never played a game like that." And I don't know. I think Obsidian, like, they're in that conversation with Bethesda, with CD Projekt Red, with Larian. So I would hope that they would be able to achieve something like that. And when you say to me that they're coming out, and I mean, I've seen it myself too, but when you bring up the fact that they're coming out and they're saying, well, we're just trying to operate in the scope and the wheelhouse that we're comfortable in, it feels like it's the opposite of that. And so that is a little bit dismaying for me.
Well, we will definitely revisit this, guys, because there are going to be a Gamescom. Hopefully we get some previews and some feedback from the people that get to go. Now, we obviously got to be careful because Redfall previews did not at all represent the product that shipped. So we will be obviously a little cautious of that. Hopefully we can have some people get hands-on that maybe we feel are a little bit more reliable in that certain department. I don't want to call anybody like a liar, but I definitely think the Redfall stuff was very hand-picked and not helpful to the public. And we heard from people that I felt were being pretty honest about Stalker 2 with their hands-on, which is concerning, because that game is very close to launching. I mean, 2 to 3 months away. That's a tiny window in the development world. So hopefully we can hear some good things at Gamescom. And maybe when they show up at Gamescom, they will give us a dadgum release date, because both this and Indiana Jones not having release dates, I still don't get the play there. Maybe I think somebody
hopefully to push it back. Hopefully to push it back, like hopefully it would make it like less of a ordeal for them to say actually it's gonna come in 2025, you know, whether it's in February or whenever. I still think this game could be very, very good, and it could surprise a lot of people, myself included. That's what I'm hopeful for. Again, the podcast footage gave me renewed interest, and so now it's like, all right, you've got my attention. What can you do with it? And I guess at the end of the day, like, I just don't want to be let down. And I think a lot of people are in that same boat. But there's no way we get a bad game out of this, to be very, very clear. Like, this game will not be bad. It will be more than competent. It will be enjoyable. Obsidian just don't make bad games. But it's just a question of, like, does this go in the upper echelon? Like, is this one that we're going to look back on and be like, man, Avowed, right? Like, that was a game. Or is it just going to be like, yeah, Val, that was pretty good. So we'll see.
Well, we'll definitely see, chat, so keep it here for that. Hey, as we end here, we're going to go to Writer's Room, and that's a behind-the-scenes look for members. We had a great, great result today, 76 members. I gifted all that I owe you guys, and you are pretty on pace. You need about 100 members a day this week to make Creature play a cute game, and we'll pick that game in the Writer's Room as well. That's a great reason to be a member. Smash like before we leave. We only need about 30 of you to hit the like button, and that will help this video later. So take a quick second and do that. Double check that it saved your like, because YouTube was being really squirrely earlier. So do a quick check of that. And then I'm going to spam a link in chat. That is where we are headed. If you are not a member, feel free to go check out Kirk's channel. It's clickable in the description. Or you could check out my upload from this morning about why Dragon Age is changing my mind. That video is getting some good engagement right now, so go see what people are saying. I'm going to start the Writer's Room. Thanks so much for being a member to this channel, and you may have gotten a gifted member today. Nice strong start to the week. 76 members. You need about 100 a day if you want to make a creature play a cute game on Friday night. So I think we should try Cuphead. We should try that software that I was going to play Cuphead with. We'll combine cute with rage. All right. I'm going to end the previous stream with Kirk. We talked about Avowed, and it was good.
And the sauce got everywhere.
Yeah, and Kirk got sauce on everybody. I thought that was good. I really do. Yeah. It let me kind of pull for the game because I am.
We all know Kit Kat bars taste delicious, but what about how they sound? It's not just a catchy jingle. It's the satisfying crack of breaking off a piece of Kit Kat, followed by a crisp crunch. Oh, we forgot one other sound that accompanies Kit Kat bars, too. It's, or maybe it's more like, altogether, Kit Kat bars are music to our ears and yummy flavors to our mouths. Have a break. Have a Kit Kat.
Listen up, people. Over the years, I've learned how important hydration is in my workouts and everyday life. It's the key to helping my body move, recover, and just have a good time when I'm exercising and staying active. Things go even better when I'm well hydrated before I even start moving. Noon Hydration doesn't want you to wait to hydrate. They want you to start hydrated. Noon Sport Hydration Tablets hydrate better than water alone. Just drop them in your water, dissolve, and enjoy. They contain 5 essential electrolytes and come in crisp and refreshing flavors like strawberry lemonade, lemon lime, and many more. They also have non-GMO vegan and gluten-free ingredients and only 1 gram of sugar. Noon hydrates you so you can do more, go further, and recover faster. And that means you can have a heck of a lot more fun. Since hydrated humans have the most fun, head over to shop now on noonlife.com and pick some up today so you're ready for anything. Because anything can happen after noon.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus chews.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are.
Go, go, go!
With Erleada, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erleada is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erleada may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erleada can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erleada is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erleada.com. CP43-9267-V1.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.